Welcome to the River Church Podcast.
We're all about bringing the life, hope, and love of Jesus to everyone around us.
For more information, check out our website at river-church.uk.
That's what we're going to do in a moment. But before we do that, I just want to kind of answer the question, why does any of this matter? Why does this story matter at Christmas? Why is this really relevant? We live in a world where nothing is worth waiting for. Do you know what I mean? We live in a world where if it's going to take longer than 5 minutes, I'm going somewhere else. You know, I can't stand going to McDonald's now. Not just because the food isn't great quality, although it draws me back in. You go, and the amount of times now I go and I have to go park up, and I'm at the drive-thru, I go park up, and I'm there, and there's no spaces, so I get fed up, and so I'm not going to bother. We are not a people who like waiting, and yet the fact is, the most important, the most key things in life, we must wait for. You cannot escape waiting. And actually, as believers, we are waiting for Jesus. We're waiting for him to return and restore the world to what it's meant to be. You can't fast track this. And so rather than avoid waiting and not wait for anything, we need to learn how to get good at waiting. We need to learn what waiting looks like when it's hard, when it's easy, when there's distractions, when it's difficult, and how we can wait together. So that's why we're talking about this today. That's why it's important. Not just that we wait for the eternity that's coming, but actually we learn how to wait well while we're here. Let's go right back to the beginning. What's really helpful for me at the moment is in the youth, we're doing this thing called the Bible Project. So we're going through the Bible in an entire year. It's a big task. But can I just quickly say, I'm so proud of our young people. This is a big challenge for adults, frankly, to chunk through and to really commit themselves to pouring through. But I'm really encouraged by the stories that are coming out. Some people are running ahead with it and like are already on roof. And I'm like, well, we're not there yet, but that's great. Others, you know, they're behind, but you know what? It's affecting their prayer lives. One person told us recently that they've started praying by themselves for the first time when reading by the Bible. The word is a lamp to our feet, isn't it? Amen? Amen. So that's where we're coming from. So let's look back. Adam and Eve, the garden was full of peace and joy. There's no tears, no fears, no pineapple on pizza. Everything is just brilliant. Sorry, I offended a few people there. Sorry. I'm not sorry, though. It's true. Just God's good creation. But you may obviously know the story that Adam and Eve broke their relationship with God by pursuing another promise from an enemy who had no intention of following through with what he was saying. It's at this point that the world is broken. God makes a promise, actually. In the future, someone, this mysterious person, is going to come and destroy this enemy at its source and destroy evil at its source and put the world back together, restoring everything to the way it was meant to be, though he will be wounded in the process. The wait for this mysterious savior begins. And then we move on. By the way, anyone who's thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to go through the entire Bible, don't worry. We're not doing that. We're just going to spend 2 hours and doing what I can. No, we're just going to touch on little points. So let's go to Abraham. Abraham learns that through his descendants, all people will be blessed by God. And then generations later, there's a prophecy made that the Messiah will come through the tribe and the family of Judah. He'll be a ruler, a royal ruler, and be followed by people from every nation. It's starting to build up a little picture of who this person is. You can understand why. And remember, this is thousands and thousands of years before Simeon, before Jesus, seemingly, walks on the earth. Well, I'm going to pause for a little second just to have a little reflect. Do you ever lose focus? Has anyone lost focus already while we're talking? It's okay, don't worry, I forgive you, you're good. It's completely understandable. But we do lose focus. And throughout the Old Testament, that's what God's people do. They get distracted. You know, they've got a promise of a savior, but they suddenly go, you know, they just go and they sit and they wait and they're just like, oh. Coming. They go, oh, do you know what? I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go do something over here. They get distracted. The problem is we need to ditch those distractions. Because when we follow other promises other than God, when we follow actually our own way of doing things, it doesn't work out. We rely on ourselves to no avail. Has anyone tried to do something themselves that's not really worked out very well? Yeah, a few nods there. We are just as prone to distractions. It's easy to make money, success, relationships. And popularity, our ultimate goal. But do you know what? No, I was at an award ceremony this weekend. I didn't win. Don't worry. All good. But do you know what? There's no award. There's no power that can offer us what Jesus does. And the enemy's promises are empty. Don't leave the waiting room when the doctor is the only one who can help you. It's madness. What is distracting you right now? Is there anything that's in the way? And maybe a sure way of looking at this is, where do you spend your time? What gets more of your time than Jesus? That's a good place to start looking. And actually, if you want to pray about this, there's a lovely hymn, Come Now Fount. And there's a lovely sort of set of verses that says, prone to wander, Lord, I fear it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, Lord. Take it, seal it. Seal it for your courts above. Bring this to God, guys. Let's get back to it. So far, we know that this mysterious Messiah will destroy the ultimate enemy and the source of evil. He will restore the world. He'll bless all people of the world and be a ruler who draws people from all nations to him. We then get Moses, who becomes a leader of the people and a mediator between God and those people. He foretells of a time where God will raise up a prophet like him who will be the ultimate mediator between God and people. And then we get King David, and people get a bit excited because he starts ticking off some of these boxes. He's a royal ruler. He draws people to himself. Maybe, is this Messiah that we were looking for? You guys know the answer. Not quite, I'm afraid. Just like others before him, he fails. He doesn't quite live up to the scratch. However, we do get another prophecy. We get a piece of the puzzle. The promised Savior will come from David's line. He'll know God as Father and reign over an eternal kingdom. Not just an earthly kingdom, but an eternal kingdom. You see, this picture is being built up again over generations and generations. However, up and down, things only worsen after this. Each king drifts further and further from God, chasing after money, power, pleasure. The nation divides and eventually it splits and falls apart and is exiled from the promised land. The hope of a Messiah fades. There's no king left to fulfill it. What do they do? Have you ever lost hope in the waiting? Waiting can just be tedious, you know, and annoying, but actually it can also be a really heavy burden. We've already talked about the burden of fighting addiction or fighting with yourself and your own failings and sins. But actually, it's not easy about sin. What about unanswered prayers? What about if you're waiting for someone to return to God? What if you're waiting for a partner? Or even finding work so that you just provide? Or maybe you're waiting for children. There was moments when Abby and I, many of you will know our story, but when Abby and I were trying for a family, it was hard. Lots of time, lots of struggles with fertility, and yeah, losses as well. We struggled with that, and there were many moments where it was easy for us to lose hope. In pain, in waiting, it can be really isolating. It can feel like the walls are closing in, that your options are disappearing. And you watch others moving forward, like getting into the fast lane, it feels like, while you're left behind, just powerless. You're like, I don't know what to do. Do you know, there was a point actually for me, there was a season where I just stopped believing God wanted to do good for me. Not that he wasn't good himself or that he was going to do good to others, but I just stopped really like feeling that actually God just wants me to be obedient and faithful, and that's how it's going to be. I just want to say, if you feel or resonate with any of this, you're not alone. You're not bad. You're human. Following Jesus isn't about putting on a brave face. The Bible does not hide pain. In fact, that's one of the things I love about the Bible is that it's honest. There's a book that's a real downer. And it's called Lamentations. You know, it's just right there in the name. But there's a verse where this guy, obviously, his life has fallen apart, and he just says, my soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. You're like, okay, come on, that's pretty hard. But, you know, it's good to understand that I'm not alone in the way I feel about that. But here's the key bit. Just a few verses later, the writer says this, yet hope returns when I remember this one thing. The Lord's unfailing love and mercies still continue. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is all I have. So I will wait for him. Amen. When waiting is painful, we must choose to remember hope. And I know that's really hard, but we don't let pain control us, leading to bitterness and isolation or despair. Instead, do you know what? Sometimes you just got to throw yourself on God, trusting his character and his goodness. I call it digging your nails into Jesus, because there was times I just didn't feel that, but actually I had to hold on to the truth, because it's Jesus who gets me through. Jesus will sit with you in the waiting. This is the great thing about God. Other gods might tell you, oh, you've got to sort things out yourself. You know, you're the one who's sorting out. Jesus gets down and sits with you in the waiting room. He sits with you for the appointments. He sits with you in the tears. He's a very present help in times of trouble. That's been our testimony. That's been our experience. We couldn't get through it without God. To be clear, waiting on God doesn't mean we'll get everything we ask for. I want to be really clear about that. But we will see his goodness. And the greatest good God can give us is himself. That is true. Just saying earlier, God's goodness runs after you. And just as a little side point here, we are a church, we are a family, we are a gift to one another. We are really thankful for so many people in this church who stood with us, cried with us, and showed us what good God looks like by supporting us. Whatever you're waiting on at the moment, invite people into that. Support people, love people, listen. Listen to each other. That's what we're here for, church. So we see that when all hope seems to be gone, God is still holding on. And so we hold on to hope. Next, we see Isaiah, who comes and helps us fill in the rest of the picture, giving us hope, not leaving it in ruin. In Isaiah 2, there's this vision of all nations streaming to the mountain of the Lord to worship and learn from him. In chapter 9, it refers to the Messiah being divine in nature. Wonderful counselor, mighty God. This is very new as part of the picture. He's the Prince of Peace, and so he is the one who distributes peace. And chapter 53, we hear about the suffering servant whose death will bring redemption for all who follow him. And then there's a little nugget at the end, a little end credit scene of the Old Testament, the book of Micah. We find out where this Messiah will be born, and the term is Bethlehem. Then we get silence for 400 years, which brings us back to Simeon. Jesus is worth the wait. Simeon has carried the hopes of his people as he waited for the Messiah. The Spirit revealed that he would see the Lord's Messiah. Just imagine him. He's listening to God. He's open to God's direction. And one morning he just says, go to the temple. And he goes to the temple, compelled by the Spirit. And amid the crowds, he sees this child. And God says, there he is. The person that your people thought maybe he'll never come, there he is. Imagine the culmination of generations of waiting fulfilled. The euphoria, the relief. Now I can have peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Jesus fulfills everything prophesied about the Messiah, the mighty God on earth, drawing people to himself, healing the sick, forgiving sins, and showing the way. But actually, in the wait, it's not just about Christmas that's the most important thing. The manger leads to the cross, where his sacrifice destroyed the work of that old enemy, In his death, Jesus brings life to all who would follow him. And whilst the Satan, the evil one, is sort of limping on, trying to do his best, he's done. He's done. The battle is won. And that's all we're waiting for is the fulfillment of these things. And as I said, now it's us who's waiting for Jesus' return, where he will restore all things, fulfilling the hope that the world has been waiting for, putting everything back together in the way it should be. C.S. Lewis describes that day as a day where everything sad comes untrue. That's wonderful, isn't it? How much do we dream about eternity? How much do we think about that as what we're waiting for? Now, I just want to give a little nugget here. Oh, there we are. Last little lesson about waiting is that we're prepared and we're not passive. We think of waiting as sometimes being stuck in a queue, as I said at McDonald's, but you get your phone out and disconnect. But in waiting to move house, something that we're trying to work out and stuff at the moment, there's lots to do and, frankly, little progress if you're not actively engaged. Waiting can actually look like preparing. We see this with Simeon, who's open to the Spirit moving him, leading him in the things that he's been waiting for. And I guess the question I would want to ask is, how are you preparing for eternity? Think about how much time you spend preparing for a meeting, preparing for work, for preparing for events. We've got a lot of prep going in for our event this Christmas. But how much time are you spending preparing for eternity? We had a fantastic time at youth the other week, and we had a guest speaker who came to encourage and challenge us, but not just to focus on the future, but to focus on where we are right now with Jesus. What is God speaking to you about right now? Where is God calling you to serve him? How can you get stuck in with us as part of the family here? And I'm not even just saying about Sundays. What else could we do if we all got stuck in, if we all were active rather than passive? One question that I've been asked about this is, why doesn't Jesus come back now? Yeah, it'd be easy, wouldn't it? Well, there's a verse in 2 Peter that says, Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient towards us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Now, I can look back and see the work God has done in my waiting. It's hard to see it when you're going through it, isn't it? Really hard. Sorry, I just felt really I should just say, if you are in a waiting season right now, or you're not understanding and you've been wrestling with God about something, I just feel like God wants to say he loves you and he understands and he knows you and he sees you and he's there for you. Someone's thinking, no, it's not me. Yes, you, even you, dare I say. I wish I could describe it in words, but Jesus is for you and he's not against you. This is the truth, actually, that we carry with us, that Jesus is the gift worth waiting for. And, you know, we said, actually, you know, the Jesus doesn't want to come back too soon to the point where people miss out. And actually, maybe that needs to be our heart. You know, we've got the event coming. The reason we're doing all this stuff afterwards is not just have fun at Bouncy Castle. I love Bouncy Castle. But we want to have time with people. We want to have time that people can know what Jesus looks like, what the church looks like. So who could you bring? How could you help make that happen? How could you help people see Jesus this Christmas? Now, typically, when I like to finish, I like to look at the end, I like to look at the picture, and I love going to Revelation 21. You've probably heard me do it a few times. It talks about how there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more sadness, there'll just be the eternal kingdom, us and Jesus. But actually, I'm going to make it a bit more simple. I want to go to Psalm 16. He says, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. See, I talked about our struggle, and actually, it was a week after Ezra was born to us. I was up, sitting just up there, and I had to come in to do a quick notice and then rush off afterwards, which I did, to get back to them. And the goodness of God came on. And I cried like I have never cried before. with joy, with relief, because my wife was okay and my son was here and he was with me. That is a really small, tiny glimpse of the joy and the restoration that we will know when all sadness comes undone in glory, when all things are put back together. It's going to be a really wonderful time. And do you know what? No one in this room can offer you anything more than that. No one can offer you any better. Elon Musk can't offer you any better. Okay? Guys, that's why Jesus is worth waiting for. So what we're going to do actually is is that all right? I think I'd love it if we had a little chance to pray with one another. We're going to have a little bit of music come on. We're just going to take a couple of minutes and then we'll have the band come up and go from there. How do you need to pray? Have you been distracted from what God's been calling you to? Focus on Jesus. Pray that prayer we talked about. Are you going through a waiting season and you need to just know the hope and choose hope today? Pray. Or maybe this is your first time and you're hearing different stuff and you've got some questions. Let's pray. We'd love to pray. We'll pray for one another now, but there will be a chance to pray after the service. We'll have some prayer team just in this bit here. But for now, turn to one another. Let's pray. Okay?